The voices you trust to help you understand what's happening.
I'm Randy Kaye.
Ann Carrick.
Ryan Scott Smith.
Shelley Hassman Kadish, WSHU News.
And the voices that keep you company throughout the week.
It's Sunday Baroque. I'm Suzanne Bona.
Well, my name is Steve Winters. The program is Profiles in Folk.
I'm Emily Boyer. So glad to be with you today.
Real people, trusted voices, supported by the community we serve. WSHU, news you trust, music you love.
This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Environmental officials push back on plans for a new dam in Suffolk County. It's about to get really cold in our region tonight. Governor Hochul has a big cash lead over her gubernatorial challengers. Plus, should drivers be concerned about privacy with more speed cameras on the road? Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. A Suffolk County proposal to build a new dam at Blydenburg Park in Smithtown is getting pushback from some residents and from state environmental officials. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports.
The county wants to build a 500-foot-wide dam to recreate Stump Pond. The original dam, over 200 years old, was destroyed during a 2024 storm, draining the pond. But the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation says the county should explore other options, including a proposal to let nature and the Nissaquag River continue to reclaim the area. The County Council on Environmental Quality is set to vote January 28th on a recommendation about whether the county should perform a full environmental review of the proposed dam. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
A blast of Arctic air is headed into the region tonight. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports Connecticut's severe cold weather protocol has been activated.
Temperatures are expected to drop into the single digits over the next few nights, between 10 and 15 degrees lower than what's typical for this time of year. Wind gusts will make it feel even colder. Governor Ned Lamont has activated the state's cold weather protocol from Monday evening until Wednesday afternoon. Activating the protocol allows state agencies to coordinate with United Way's 211 to make sure shelter and transportation to it is available for anyone in need. To find a warming center or shelter, call 211 or go to 211ct.org. Temperatures are expected to drop again at the end of this week. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Governor Kathy Hochul has a big cash lead over her challengers for another term running New York State. The New York Public News Network's Jimmy Vilkind reports.
Hochul's campaign says she has more than $20 million in her campaign coffers. In contrast, GOP candidate Bruce Blakeman and Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado each have about $1 million. But Delgado's campaign says it's on track to get public matching funds for his Democratic primary challenge. This is the first New York gubernatorial election with public financing. Blair Horner is with the New York Public Interest Research Group. He says it will make the race more competitive.
For any challenger taking on an incumbent, it's a steep uphill climb. A system of public financing helps make that climb a little bit easier.
Hochul's campaign says it's still deciding whether to use public financing. In Albany, I'm Jimmy Vilkind for the New York Public News Network.
As Connecticut towns turn to speed cameras to curb dangerous driving, critics warn the cure may come with privacy costs. A conversation on that is ahead.
Hi, I'm Brad Dancer, General Manager of WSHU Public Radio. Because of your generosity and continued support, WSHU will be here for you every day in 2026 with the journalism, music, and storytelling you rely on. From reporting that helps you make sense of the world to music that brings inspiration and calm, your support makes it all possible. On behalf of everyone here at WSHU, thank you for ensuring that the news you trust and the music you love remain a vital part of our community.
The town of Huntington is warning residents after 6 dead Canada geese were found at Heckscher Park, and they're now being tested for avian flu, which can be passed on to domestic birds like chickens or even cattle. Health officials say don't touch or let pets near dead birds and to call animal control if you come across a dead bird. Brookhaven plans to borrow hundreds of thousands of dollars more to help seal a landfill that's been disused for more than 50 years. A judge first ordered the town to seal the landfill back in 2001 after it turned the water nearby orange. The town will increase a $250,000 bond it approved last year to $600,000. North Haven's school board is suing its counterpart in neighboring New Haven. It says the New Haven school board owes North Haven more than $500,000 for special education services. The lawsuit stems from a program that lets kids go to school in other districts. Last year, Connecticut state regulators rejected Eversource's plan to sell the water company, Aquarion. Now, a state judge has ordered them to reconsider. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports.
Eversource wants to sell Aquarion to a quasi-public New Haven-based water authority that would take the water company out from under state government oversight. Both state and local lawmakers said it would mean residents pay higher water costs and pushed back against the sale. PURA, the state's energy regulator, rejected the $2.4 billion plan in November. Now a Superior Court judge has remanded the decision back to PURA. He says they don't have the right to block the sale based on their criteria. Nearly 700,000 people in Connecticut get their water from Aquarion. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
As Connecticut municipalities look for ways to promote safe driving, some are turning to speed cameras. However, some advocacy groups have privacy concerns. WSHU's Ebong Udama spoke with the Connecticut Mirror's Amelia Oat, who's done in-depth reporting on this story. Their conversation is part of the collaborative podcast, Long Story Short.
Last July, Middletown, Connecticut became one of the first towns in the state to install speed cameras at some strategic locations. It raked in about $1.8 million in fines in 6 months. Is that what prompted you to do a deep dive into this?
Yes, it was. I passed that speed camera on Route 66 on a regular basis and slow way down on my way in.
So basically, could you just tell us how the speed camera works?
Essentially, they are, they've been placed in or towns have requested to place them in certain strategic locations where people tend to speed. And the cameras will capture when someone goes over 10 miles per hour over the speed limit, or if they run a red light. And once the cameras have done that, a citation will go out to the person whose car has run the light or sped, and then there's a process for contesting that citation if the person feels they were unfairly given it, or they can simply pay the fine.
Yes, for instance, in the situation with Middletown, it was $1.8 million collected, but they charged $2.8 million, and this was just in 6 months.
Yes, it's true. It does take a little bit of time. There's a delay between how long it takes to actually collect the fines versus when the citations go out.
Okay. Now, you say that other towns are now looking into this. Initially, there was a lot of concern about privacy from some people, especially the ACLU. How has that worked out now that the cameras have been put in place in certain towns?
So the concerns about privacy, particularly with the ACLU, a lot of that came out of concerns about a particular company called Flock, which there was some concern about data sharing from license plate readers, which are sometimes in towns used by police departments. And there was some concern about that data being shared with federal law enforcement and then being used particularly around immigration enforcement. That is different from speed or traffic cameras, but the ACLU is still concerned about the use of speed and traffic cameras just for privacy. I will say that Connecticut's law is extremely strict around how the data from speed and red light cameras can be used. It can only be kept for 30 days. So even if, say, the camera captures a crime being committed, that data cannot be used as evidence for that. So Connecticut's law is very strict about how that can be done.
Now, you say other towns are now looking into setting up their own speed cameras. Which towns are looking at this? And is there a difference between urban communities and rural communities?
There is a large mix of towns looking into this. 11 have been approved by the state so far, because the state has to approve any plan that a municipality makes. So far, I believe Beacon Falls, Fairfield, Stratford, Milford, Greenwich, New Haven was just approved, Stamford was just approved. So it's a real mix of small and large towns, and Hartford is still waiting on approval. But towns all over the state are looking into this. Many of them want the traffic cameras in areas around schools.
Okay, and there's also a situation here where you talk to some people in Litchfield County and how it's working out over there. Could you just give us a little bit of what's going on there? And they're not bringing in as much money, but they feel very happy with the way it's worked out, right?
Yes, the first town to install traffic cameras was a little town called Washington in Litchfield County. They have three cameras. They brought in, you know, $662,000 they issued in fines. That's pretty good for it's a small town. So, but what is really key, they're saying, is that people are actually slowing down, which it was the only thing the first selectman told me that actually worked to get people to slow down.
And a large city that's looking at this right now is Bridgeport, but there's still some hesitancy, right?
So Bridgeport is in its very, very early stages. I went to a meeting of their public safety committee where they were really just starting to discuss what would happen if we put some cameras in. And yeah, there's some concern in Bridgeport about, is this the place we want to put our money? Should we be investing in more policing rather than this? Should we, there's so many things we need. Why should we be doing this? And I think also in Bridgeport, there has been some concern because they recently installed traffic cameras on school buses to monitor when cars are not stopping for school buses. There's also been a big controversy over the use of drones to alert emergency responders. So I think in Bridgeport, there's a bigger context around the use of technology in general and whether or not that's a good thing and whether or not it really works.
But overall, it seems as if we're going to have a lot more speed cameras in a lot more communities going forward.
Indeed, yes.
Okay, well, thank you, Amelia. Thank you. Amelia Ott is the Connecticut Mirror's justice reporter. Long Story Short comes from WSHU Public Radio and the Connecticut Mirror. Subscribe to the podcast to hear more from Amelia about how speed cameras are raking in millions for some Connecticut towns, prompting others to want to join the program. Available wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ebon Udama.
You want news that's thoughtful, reporting that's clear and helps you make sense of the world, and music that still surprises you with familiar favorites and new discoveries along the way. That's what you'll find at WSHU every single day. News you trust, music you love. Listen to us on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or take us with you on the go with the free WSHU app. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thank you so much for listening to After All Things. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk tomorrow. Thank you.